Well, open your Bibles here tonight to the book of Acts. Whoa, we're getting down to the end here. Acts chapter 27, and then last chapter, chapter 28. What I'd like to look at tonight is verse 39 through 44 here tonight. Just some thoughts here, and what we can learn from a shipwreck. And this passage here in Paul's travel to Rome, he has a shipwreck that he endures here. And when it was day, verse 39 of Acts 27, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore on which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosened the rudder bands, hoisted up the mainsails in the wind, and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart struck fast, remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. Let's pray here tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for what we're looking at here tonight. And Father, as we consider this topic, what we can learn from a shipwreck. And Lord, I just pray that we in our own lives, Lord, can be strong in our faith in the midst of difficult times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Anybody know what probably one of the most famous shipwrecks is? Titanic. I mean, that to me is like probably the most famous of all shipwrecks. And, you know, when those people set sail from England, did any of them have the foggiest thought that they wouldn't make it across the Atlantic? I mean, they did not even, wasn't even on their radar screen that they wouldn't make it across. And yet, do shipwrecks happen? They do. And, there's never a good time for a shipwreck. Do you know what I'm saying? It's never a good time. But they do happen in life. And so in this passage here, this ship carried a certain passenger, the Apostle Paul. And was he an innocent man or a guilty man in God's eyes? He's totally innocent, but he was a prisoner. And that's where we find ourselves in a cursed world. We can be totally innocent, righteous, serving God, loving God. And yet in the world's eyes and the eyes of unbelievers, we can be guilty and charged as criminals. And that's where Paul found himself. And for Paul, during this time, when he found himself coming here, if you look back at verse 26 of this chapter, as he's speaking to those on the ship there, he said, "Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island." And I think in the providence of God, God gave Paul a little bit of understanding what's ahead in the future here. And I didn't tell him what island, didn't tell him how, didn't give him a lot of details, but he just knew he was going to be cast upon. But what did God give him just before that? Verse 25, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe what?" What's that next word? I believe what? Right, I believe God, that it shall be even as taught. I believe God. And the thing about it in life, now, can we all have a shipwreck experience in our lives in some kind of way? In some kind of way or another, we can have that type of experience. We don't ask for it, but it comes our way. And the thing that we want to be careful in when we go through those experiences is that our eyes aren't focused on the shipwreck, so to speak, as much as it is on what God told us. And as I said the week before, never forget in the dark what you learned in the light. And for Paul, he learned this in the light. God told him, hey, you know, God's going to give all that with thee in verse 24. And Paul accepted, I believe God. But verse 26, we're going to be cast upon a certain island. So Paul, in his God gave him this understanding what's going to happen. Now, God gave Paul this understanding. Do we, through Scripture, have an understanding what the future is going to hold for the world? Do we have an understanding? Yeah. We do. Okay? Now, between what happens in the future and where we are now, can there be a lot of tragedies in between that? Yes. Sure can. Absolutely. But that doesn't diminish the fact that we're going to be over here with God at one point in eternity. Some point, God's going to take us home to be with Him out of this present world. But until that time happens, we can have to go through some shipwrecks. Well, how does this encounter here unfold? When it was day, during the night, you know, they sensed they were approaching land. And they didn't know where they were at because the storm had blown them so far south. They were trying to get north, but the storm drove them south. And they thought they saw a certain landing and a beach that they could head for. When they took up the anchors, they committed themselves, to the sea, loosed the rudder bands, hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and made for shore. Now, in this verse here, and following a certain place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. The best of human efforts can what? Fail sometimes. It can fail. The best, were they trying to get out of this storm and get to land? They did everything they could. But what can we learn from shipwreck? One, the best of human efforts can fail. And sometimes circumstances are beyond our control. And what was beyond their control? Well, they ran the ship aground because there was this reef there that they thought they could make to shore, but they didn't. They hit the reef. And there are circumstances beyond our control. So sometimes when we go through a shipwreck, there are going to be circumstances beyond our control that we don't know about, we didn't anticipate, we don't have any understanding. And for them, the best of their efforts, they did the best they could. The circumstances were beyond their control. They hit. Now, when the ship, front part of the ship crashed into the reef, the back part, when the waves came up, it lifted the ship, but the front didn't move, so it cracked it that way. But when the waves came back, it left a hollow spot and the thing would come down. So the front was staying fixed, the back was moving like this, and it was just breaking the ship right in half. The hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves, verse 41. Now for Paul, he looked at this ship being broken apart. Did he want to be there on that ship? Did he tell them this is what should be done? He actually counseled them what? Don't set sail. Don't go here. Don't do this. What can we learn from a shipwreck? You can be made shipwrecked by the actions of others. And that's what happened to Paul. He was made shipwrecked by the actions of others. They made decisions that were contrary to his counsel, his wisdom, his understanding. You can be made shipwrecked by the actions of others. And that's what happened. Paul was made shipwrecked. He saw the ship breaking right in two, and he didn't have any control over it. How bad can it get when you go through a shipwreck? But look at verse 42. And the soldiers counseled was to kill the prisoners. Okay. Paul's sitting there thinking, Now, why would they even say kill the prisoners? What was according to Roman law? If you were guarding a prisoner and they escaped, right. Whatever punishment they were to get, you were to get. So if they were condemned to murder, you know, they were going to be killed for being a murderer, then you'd get that punishment. And soldiers didn't want any to escape. Now, you're sitting on that ship, and all of a sudden, the thing's breaking right in two. That's bad. And then all of a sudden you hear, hey, they want to kill all the prisoners. And you're thinking to yourself, I'm a prisoner. When you go through a shipwreck, all can seem what? Lost. It can get so bad, it doesn't seem like there's any hope when you go through a shipwreck. There's no hope here. So for Paul, the ship's being broken. He's hearing over here, hey, they're going to kill all the prisoners. All can seem lost, humanly speaking. But look at verse 43. God used one person, but the centurion. God can use just one person to bring deliverance. Now, think in the Bible. Name me some people that are just one person that brought deliverance. That God used one person.
David.
Yeah, David and who?
Goliath.
One person brought deliverance. Okay? Anybody else you can think of one person that brought deliverance? Okay, sure, Joseph. And yeah, in Egypt, absolutely. Joseph brought deliverance to all of Canaan there. You know, by his wisdom and God giving him the understanding, he brought deliverance. Anybody else you can think of?
Jesus.
Okay. You can't go wrong with that answer.
Yes. He came to deliver all of us.
That's right. Absolutely. Esther, okay, sure. Yes, Esther, one person. If I perish, I what?
Perish
perish. But she made, yeah, she changed, she saved the Jewish nation by her willingness. Do you see how God can use one person when it seems absolutely hopeless? Now for Paul, ship's breaking, they're going to kill all the prisoners. But who spoke up? The centurion. And when all seems lost, humanly speaking, verse 43, God can use just one person to bring deliverance. But the centurion, willing to save who? Paul. Now, think about this for a minute. Out of all the prisoners there, how many people are on this boat?
276.
Yeah, 276, Dan. Out of all the people, who's the centurion take note of? Paul. As he looked over the ship, Paul, we're not going to kill this man. And I think as God's people, when we go through a shipwreck, our deliverance God can use in many different ways. He can use just one person to deliver us. And for Paul, the centurion was so moved by God, he was not willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which should swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on board, some on broken pieces of the ship. So it came to pass, they all escaped, all safe to land. When you go through a shipwreck, God can make a way when there seems no what? Way. In a shipwreck. And sometimes we have these things in our life where we just, bam, crash. What do I do now? All you see is a broken ship everywhere. But that doesn't mean God can't work in and through it. And sometimes there's a loss. Now, the ship was a loss. All their cargo was a loss. But what's the most important thing that was safe here in verse 44? Human life. Now, let's just say, I wish I could remember this guy's name, but I just remember that his house burnt down during the night, but all of his kids, his wife, were out in the yard watching their house burn. And he said, this right around me is my treasure, my family. All are safe. See, that's the most important thing. What if your house burns? Is that a tragedy? It sure is. That's huge loss. But if you haul your family safe, then guess what? That's the greatest treasure that you have. And here, not one person lost their life through all this. Now, one thing about a shipwreck, they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, those that did not know how to swim, some on board, some on broken pieces. Years ago, I knew this fellow, Jerry, and you'll figure out who it is in a minute. We were at a church function. There was a pool there, and some of the guys were joking about pushing people into the pool. And they said, let's push Jerry into the pool. And as soon as he heard that, he took off like lightning, ran up and climbed up a tree. And we were all laughing hysterically. We were like, we couldn't believe how, well, come to find out, none of us knew he couldn't swim. And as soon as we talked about throwing him in the pool, just joking, you know, he took off, like he climbed the tree. Now, for the rest, some on boards, was there some trauma in here for some people? If you couldn't swim, would that be some trauma for you? Now, for Paul here, he went through some trauma, but how do you think he, give me some verses that Paul might have shared with those people that had to get on boards to save their life, that went through some trauma. What verses might he shared with them? Yes.
And the water.
Okay.
Boat and be
gone. Yes.
But people will be
safe.
Everyone and be safe.
Yes. Yes. And those that got to shore on the boards probably had some trauma they went through because they didn't know how to swim. So if he's on the shore and this guy's floating along, just going half crazy, finally gets to shore, give me a verse, Paul, or some truth that Paul could have gave that person to comfort them when they went through trauma like that. What do you say to somebody that's gone through trauma? Nothing?
Jesus, when they were here for sale.
Okay. 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 Now, one thing for Paul, if he was on the shore and he had a peace about him, he had confidence about himself, he was just as wet as anybody else, but you could just look at him and said, "You're not afraid." And yet somebody else here was terrified. Could they see the difference maybe when they got to shore? And what do you say to somebody that's gone through trauma? Now, is all trauma equal? No, because it depends on the person's heart. See, some people like Paul, he was strong spiritually. He was strong physically. I mean, they beat him with rods. I mean, he knew how to take a licking, so to speak. He was strong, but there's other people, they're not so strong. And when they have to swim, when they can't swim, and they got to grab a piece of wood and try to get to shore, that's probably some real trauma for them. Now, if you've ever gone through a traumatic event, how can you get help if you go through a traumatic event? Like for these people that got on boards, probably some of them may be terrified. What does a person do if they've had a trauma in their life or a struggle in their life? What do you do? Okay, talk with somebody. Anybody?
No. Should be a Christian.
Okay, a Christian. That's a good start. Okay, let's narrow this down a little bit. What kind of Christian?
Someone that's doctrinally sound.
Okay, doctrinally sound. That's a good start. Now,
or you can read the Bible.
Okay. God's word, the wisdom. Do some people have an ability to look at life and understand human nature and put pieces together to help people? They're over here and they need to be over here, but they don't know how to get there. Do some people have the ability to say, "Well, you need to do this and this and this to get over here"? Do some people have that ability? I've heard people that have had trauma, difficulties, pain, whatever, and I've heard a counselor listen to them and they say, "I think it's this." And the person goes, "Yeah, you're right." And to me, it just amazes me sometimes how some people can just like reach up and pull down, put that on the table and say, "I think this is your problem. What do you think?" And they say, "Yeah, I've been struggling with that." And sometimes when you go through trauma, like some of these people here, they probably had a lot of trauma, broken pieces of the ship. In a shipwreck, sometimes people are traumatized. But what you don't want to do is stay there. Because what if you stay in your trauma and you never get help? What kind of emotional person are you? Okay, you can be bitter. You can be an emotional what? Wreck. You can be a shipwreck emotionally because you've gotten hit with life so hard. You're just laying on the shore looking up at the sky saying, "I'm glad I'm here, but I don't know how to handle life anymore." And so what you want to do is get yourself in a position where, like Paul, he was spiritually strong. Did Paul have the Spirit of God in him? He did. You want to find the spiritually strong person that has the Spirit of God in him, that knows the Word of God, and that can take and understands human life and nature, that when people go through trauma, they can draw out of you why you feel the way you feel and the help to get the healing you need to get. So we call somebody that's good at that, what do we call them? A Christian what? Counselor, yeah, that's what we call them. And there's a time and place that we all. Now, there's nobody in life that's never had a shipwreck in some way or another. We've all gone through pain in life. Everybody has. But what you don't want to do, if you're broken, you're getting by on broken pieces of the ship, just hanging on, and you think you're going down. See, these people that couldn't swim, if they didn't have that piece of ship, where would they be going? They think they'd be going where? Down. And what you don't want to do is be hanging on to things of the world. In a sense, you're barely staying afloat in life. You want to move ahead in life, and you don't want to stay there. So what can we learn from a shipwreck? We can learn a lot of things. But for Paul, he learned that God is what? True to his word. Because over here, it said in verse 23, Acts 27, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar." So Paul knew that centurion, that these soldiers weren't going to have their way. The centurion came to his deliverance. "And lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee." Everyone's going to be saved. "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island." That's the shipwreck. Paul, that was caught up to a third heaven, he went through a shipwreck. And guess what? I'm going to go through a shipwreck some sooner or later in my life. You're going to go through a shipwreck, and it may not even be your fault. Other people may so organize life and circumstances that you're just along, and all of a sudden, boom, it hits you. But God is faithful. And we can trust God, just as Paul says. He says, "I believe God." And that's where we need to stay. Anybody have any thoughts about this passage here? Any insights, sir?
Seems a lot like where we are with our country right now.
Okay. Our country's kind of like a shipwreck. Yeah, absolutely. But we don't have to go down with the ship individually. Yeah. So, yes, our nation needs a lot of prayer. Absolutely, Brian.
What a blessing been to, for this people have it all.
Oh, yes. Yes.
He's been leader. He's been God's man.
Yes.
By his example, he showed to them how to survive.
How to survive. Yes, absolutely. And Victor, you touched upon some. All those other prisoners, if Paul wasn't on the ship, they may have just been done. They didn't realize their life was spared because of this man's righteousness and his walk with God. So, yes. Good thought, Victor. Thank you. Any other insights here about this passage?
I've looked at this passage a number of times. It is interesting to me that Paul, he was told all of their lives would be saved.
Okay.
But then he told them, "Do you have any say? If you don't stay with the ship, you cannot be saved."
Yes, that's verse 31, yes.
Right. There still was a diff there.
Right. Well, what was happening, see, you used to have big ships and they'd tie little ships behind them and tow them around. Well, the storm was so bad, these little ships were banging against the big ships, so they brought the little ships above board, set them on the ship. Well, some of the sailors were going to get on the little ship and leave.
Yeah.
Well, if you're sailing a ship and all the sailors leave, that's going from bad to what? Worse in a storm. And Paul said, unless you stay on this ship, because God told me everybody that's on this ship's going to be saved, not on that little boat out here that you want to get on. So, you know, it's interesting, Jim, with the soldiers, verse 32, cut off what? The ropes. Because that's what Paul said. And he had such a presence, like Victor's saying, that leadership. They said, that man knows what he's talking about. We're going to do what he says, not what the sailors say. And so the soldiers, they cut the ropes and let those little boats go. But yeah, that is interesting, yeah. Because they stayed on the ship, what God said, everyone's on this ship shall be safe. So yeah, it's a good point. Okay. Well, let's pray here. Dear Lord, thank you for what we looked at here tonight. And Father, some of us could go through deep waters. And Father, we can experience shipwreck because of other people's actions. And we suffer along with them. And yet, Lord, we know you're ever faithful to us. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. And you're a good God. And Father, the immense struggles and trials and conflicts that we go through as believers. Father, may our eyes be on you and your word. And may we trust you with all of our heart. May we lean not to our own understanding, but in all of our ways. May we acknowledge you that you may direct our paths. So, Lord, thank you for the Apostle Paul, his strong presence of Christ-likeness before these unbelieving sailors and soldiers. And, Lord, how he won their respect. And Father, I pray that likewise through us, Lord, that when we go through shipwrecks, that people can see strength in us and hope in us. But Lord, if we've gone through tragedy and Lord, we find ourselves on the inside, emotional shipwreck, God, may you help us to seek out wise counsel and to learn from others that you've so gifted in the body of Christ to help us see clearly the way before us and the goodness of God and even in the midst of pain and loss. So, Lord, help us, God, as believers, to trust you and to lean on you and to have the wisdom of God in our lives. So, Lord, thank you for this passage we've looked at here tonight. And, Father, may we draw near to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, take your prayer sheet.